Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The problem is that he put himself in a position where he made big, bold claims about the rest of the agenda. You think this great stuff that we did is good? It's nothing. Wait until this summer when you're going to get all this other stuff. And then he steps on a rake.
But this time, I cannot fail. Ricks. My old arch enemy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The president wants to make fundamental change in our economy, and he feels coming out of the pandemic is exactly the time to do that.
You know, I think a lot of times people don't have a really positive image of the government.
Tell me something I don't know.
But the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Limerick guy says, why are you surprised Rivera's always been a far-left socialist? Yeah, but he hasn't been insane. I mean, that was crazy what he was saying. Limerick guy, that's the difference. 844-500-4242. Geraldo 207 says Geraldo's tantrum is right up there when he called Dan Bongino a punk a few months back. He's getting senile. It seems that way, doesn't it? At least the next thing you know, he's going to be calling Jesse Waters a lying dog-faced pony soldier. Anyway, I want to play some of these Baker cuts. And by the way, you know, I thought the Herald would get a reporter to ask him a question today and say, what do you think about this trooper? You know his name, at the Brigham and Women's, who didn't want to get a jab, 45 years old, 19 and a half years in, two kids, didn't want to get the jab. He got the Johnson & Johnson, and a day or two later, he's in the hospital, and now he's in a medically induced coma. Do you feel any kind of responsibility? Wasn't that a natural question? We didn't ask the question. Nobody asked the question. The amen chorus of the Boston media did not even bother to ask him that question. Imagine if Donald Trump were the governor and this guy was in a coma in a hospital after being ordered to get the shot by Trump. You think he would have gotten a pass today? I don't care if
you can rest assured there'd be a vaccination death counter on CNN.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just amazing. And that's why, Baker Parker is not a Republican. He's a Democrat because he gets the kid gloves treatment. It's like Shaw up in Maine. If he had been working for Pritzker, the Democrat governor who's currently running Illinois, as opposed to Rauner, who was the previous Republican guy, he'd still be there. No one would be saying anything about all those people dead because of the Legionnaires outburst at the veterans home at Outbreak. In Quincy. 844-500-40. So anyway, instead of being asked about something that he's actually responsible for, which are these insane vaccine mandates, he instead gets a pass on that, and he gets to spout off. We played this one earlier in the show, but I want to play it again. You know, what do you associate with summer? Heat. Right? Hot. That's why you go to the beach. That's why you buy suntan lotion. That's why you buy cool beverages, because it's summer and it's hot. But apparently Charlie Parker just discovered this year that it gets hot in the summer. And also, you know what else happens in the summer? You have tropical storms. Imagine that. That's never happened before, right? There have never been any floods before, right? I'm just reading the autobiography of Calvin Coolidge, and he didn't go to Mississippi when the big floods of 1927. The next year, there were floods in his home valley in Vermont, where he originally came from. He didn't go there either. But apparently, Charlie Parker thinks this is the first time there were ever floods in the United States. Okay, cut three, Charlie Parker.
We've already experienced, as I said before, many of the impacts associated with climate change, and we certainly anticipate that these will only intensify over time. This previous summer, we experienced 4 significant heat waves, more than 25 days of over 90 degrees, 3 tropical storms, a record amount of precipitation, and significant flooding across the state.
In other words, it was summer. What else? You know, and here's the, you know what's an amazing thing about climate change? Every year, it changes. You know, like in the summer, it's hot. But do you know what happens in the winter when the Earth spins on its axis? Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens, Taylor?
Does it get hotter?
No, because we're further away from the sun. So can you put it together? What happens in the winter when we're further away from the sun?
It must get hotter.
It gets colder.
Oh.
And it gets... And
so unexpected.
It is. It's as unexpected as the economy crashing under Joe Biden, which they have that too. Inflation has unexpectedly risen today. I can read you that story in a little while. But anyway, here's Baker. Baker in 2015, when he was taking office for the first time. Do you remember 2015? That was in the midst of global warming and, you know, around the clock, we were being told by Al Gore and John Kerry and Robert Kennedy Jr. that there was global warming. But guess what happened in the winter of 2015? Perhaps you recall it. Cut one.
When I read the title of this particular engagement, When Climate Moves Communities to Action, all I could think about was 20 days after I was sworn in January of 2015, where we were having a very mild 40 and 50 degree weather winter, it started to snow, and it snowed for 28 days in a row. And that was my introduction to some of the issues associated with climate.
It was winter, Charlie. It snowed.
Did it really snow for 28 days in a row?
A little bit here and there. But it was the snowiest, coldest winter on record. What I remember is John Kerry was flying around the world on his his jet, his State Department jet. And he was talking about global warming. And he didn't instruct his valet to shovel off the sidewalk outside of his mansion in Louisburg Square on Beacon Hill, and he got a $50 fine when he was telling everybody how the earth was becoming warm and there would never be snow again. And he didn't bother to shovel his snow and got a $50 fine. So Charlie Parker is amazed that there are heat waves in the summer and snow in the winter. It's really amazing. It's called climate change. You know, like right now, you know, who could have ever expected that as it got colder and the days got shorter, the leaves have been changing color. Have you noticed that, Taylor?
It's been strange. I mean, I hope they don't go anywhere.
What happens if they all fall off the trees?
That would never take place.
But some of them are very colorful. You know, maybe as we go through this terrible period of the leaves all turning color, Maybe they can get tourists to come up into the mountains of New England to visit them.
Very peculiar reason to visit any place. See the destruction of nature.
I know. Is climate change going to affect the economy? I mean, by the way, are they going to find any snowplow drivers? I think the DOT is putting stuff on the electronic billboards on the major roads in Massachusetts saying we're looking for snowplow drivers. I guess there's a shortage of snowplow drivers, too.
Any day that the National Guard has a snow day and they don't have to drive school buses, guess what they get to hop into? A plow truck.
They better get some plow trucks, because otherwise how are they going to get to their shifts at the prison? Cut four.
Beyond the impacts to our health and our homes, climate change also presents significant economic impact for our state and for the Northeast region generally. The Northeast is projected to experience some of the most drastic impacts from climate change, from extreme temperature to drought impacting crop yields. We do have a fairly significant agricultural presence here, to significant inland flooding, which will threaten homes, businesses, and critical municipal infrastructure. And as many of you know, the Commonwealth's been around a long time, and as a result, a lot of that infrastructure is old.
But there were never any floods until the last couple of years, I guess. There was never any heat waves.
I'd rather listen to Ben Stein drone on than Charlie Baker. That was boring.
That was he doesn't even believe this stuff. I mean, when he was telling you you couldn't have any Halloween last year, he was into that. He's not even into this. He's just trying to save the transportation climate initiative. You want to talk about how climate change is going to affect me or you? It's when they jack up the price, the tax on a gallon of gasoline from 24 cents to 38 cents, and you can't, and all, every gas station within 10 miles of the border goes out of business, and all the trucking companies move into New Hampshire, and the so-called millionaires all decamp to Florida like I have done, even though I'm not a millionaire. You know, that's when you're going to see some climate change. And all the illegal aliens are going to come in, and they're going to expect you, the three people left in the state who still work for a living, to take care of them. Why are the Afghans moving to this state if it's so terrible with these heat waves and this white stuff coming down and leaves falling off trees? It just sounds horrible. Let's play one more cut from Charlie Parker here, since he doesn't have to answer any questions because the reporters in Boston are too scared to ask him about this state trooper who's lying in a coma at the Brigham and Women's, and he's going to be firing thousands of people in the next week or so. They won't ask him about that. They're letting him go on raving about climate change. Cut five.
The risks from flooding, extreme heat, and other climate impacts are increasing, and the time for our state to do more, much more, is now.
And that's why I want to raise the gas tax from 24 cents to 62 cents. Because we're America's 5% of the world's population, and we're 3% of that 5%. So if we could only jack up the gas taxes and drive all the nasty deplorables with their internal combustion engines out of the state, we should be okay. The leaves will never turn in the fall. We won't have any snow in the winter. We won't have any heat waves in the summer. Everything will be hunky-dory. It'll be Indian summer all year long. To all the listeners who, like me, have an IRA or a 401k, I have an urgent warning for you. Our federal debt is now more than $28 trillion. What the government is not telling you is that the Fed is running out of ways to fight this growing burden. Inflation and tax hikes are their only way out. You've seen the 40% increase in gasoline prices since January. Have you tried to buy lumber lately? Have you noticed the shrinking portions in some packaged products at the supermarket? It's all about inflation. In this 1970-style environment, every month your dollar buys less. So if you have $50,000 or more in your retirement savings, your money could be at risk. Learn how you can protect your life savings with physical gold and silver. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to get your free precious metals IRA guide and find out how you can get paid to protect your retirement. That's right. Goldco.com/Howie Carr and the IRA experts at Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. So, what are you waiting for? Go to Goldco.com/Howie Carr. The experts at Goldco have helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect themselves against inflation and tax hikes. That's Goldco.com/Howie Carr. I'm Howie Carr.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarshow.com.
That's the Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? He's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
Prepare for climate change. Buy a shovel. There's going to be white stuff in your driveways. Lay in a supply of suntan lotion.
Is Charlie Baker aware that it gets cooler at night, too?
Don't know.
That's climate change. What are we going to do about that? We've got, if only I could raise the gasoline tax. Let me raise the gasoline tax. I know most of the money will go for MBTA pensions so the Bulgers can keep getting paid after they're retired with full pensions at 45. But it's what we must do to save not only the polar bears, but the penguins. Control the vibes with Raycon wireless earbuds. Their new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with three new sound profiles, so everything you're listening to sounds its best. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which of these three Biden cabinet members is most in over his head? Pete Buttigieg, Walsh, Marty, or Antony Blinken?
I'm voting for Buttigieg.
Buttigieg polling at 38%. Antony Blinken still in the lead at 48%, and 14% for Walsh Marty.
Before we go back to the line, we got a lot of calls here, and people want to talk about climate change and other things and gas prices. But I want to play the one Buttigieg cut. You know, he was asked last night somewhere on one of the TV shows about what about Christmas shopping. I mean, it was a serious question to a supposedly serious person. Cut 16.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
That's why I voted for Pete Buttigieg as being the most in over his head. Johnny O, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Johnny O.
Howie, great to hear you. Hey, first of all, to Taylor, you're exactly right. You'd have to put a raccoon in this guy's pants to get him excited. He sounds like a drooling fool, you know? But I remember back, I moved in this house in 2010, and I have a friend of mine that plows, and every other day it snowed, and my snowblower broke, and I was in the best shape of my life because I had to shovel the driveway. But 2 years prior, on July 4th, I was up at Moosehead Lake, and you couldn't go out on my boat without wearing a coat. And it rained, and the water temperature was 58 degrees at Moosehead Lake.
That's why we have to raise the gas prices.
I love it. So we were just going to throw money in the air, and all of a sudden the sky is going to go, thank you, Lord, for the money. Thank you, people, for the money.
Right.
We're going to fix this thing.
Right. No, what? Nothing's actually going to be done. But everybody is with the PhDs in green energy is going to go to all these conferences, right? And they're going to talk about that, just like Charlie Parker was talking about it. How it's an amazing thing. In the fall, all the leaves change color and they fall off the trees. What are we going to do about this, Johnny? What are we going to do?
I don't know how to stop it, but I do love deer hunting in the fall because I can see through the trees without the leaves. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy business.
I know, and he thinks he's who is he talking to? Who does he think is listening to this? He's just tap dancing, saying, "Oh, thank God the Herald doesn't have a reporter that could ask me a real question about that state trooper who's in a medically induced coma." And the Globe's not going to ask me about it because their motto is "afflict the afflicted and comfort the comfortable." And the TV reporters are too dumb to ask me anything. Ron, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
The Earth is closest to the sun in the winter and furthest from the sun in the summer. And I consider myself to be a sort of a climate expert.
Yeah.
And when I get into a discussion, the first thing I ask a person, does the universe revolve around the Earth or does it revolve around the sun? And when we get that straightened out, then the next question I ask him is the Earth closer to the sun in the winter or in the summer? It all has to do with the tilt of the Earth, not the closeness.
I know, so, the tilt. I know.
Yep.
It tilts on its axis, and it is, and the Earth is not flat, despite what Kyrie Irving thinks.
Although
I'm with Kyrie Irving on the vaccine. If he doesn't want to take the vaccine, that's okay with me. And if he wants to think the Earth is flat, that's okay with me too. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Speaking of climate change, we have an ominous message on the text line from 781. I left work at 4:30 p.m. It was 77 degrees. The sun is down now at 6:30, and the temperature unexpectedly dropped to 65 degrees. I just don't know. Be frightened! This is why we need to raise the gas tax! Higher than any other state in the union!
By that logic, by 3 a.m. it'll be snowing.
Snow? What snow? 603, has it ever dawned on Charlie Bacon that perhaps some people actually want an extremely snowy winter, i.e. ski areas, snowmobilers, etc.? You know, that winter of 2015 that he was talking about, that was right after Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote that, you know, he was raised in McLean, Virginia by Bobby Kennedy, the attorney general senator. And he said, you know, they had a hill in McLean, Virginia, and they would sled down. And he said, but tragically, my kids will never know what snow is. And then we had the snowiest winter since they've been keeping records, since 1880. That's the way it goes. Remember the glacier? That was a Glacier National Park. They had signs. Enjoy these glaciers now because they'll be gone by 2020. They took those signs down last year because guess what? The glaciers are still there. The signs are gone, but the glaciers are still there. 844-500-4242. I want to play a Van Jones cut before we go back to the calls. We got full lines here, but I want to play a Van Jones, the commie. He's on CNN sometimes. Here he's talking about Biden's presidency so far. Cut eight.
The problem is that he put himself in a position where he made big, bold claims about the rest of the agenda. You think this great stuff that we did is good? It's nothing. Wait until this summer when you're going to get all this other stuff. And then he steps on a rake, and then he slips on a banana peel, and then he falls down the stairs with some marbles. And now people are looking at him in a negative light.
That's a pretty good way to put it, isn't it? John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie. I got two interesting things on oil. A friend of mine works at a big oil company in the Biden administration. I won't name who, but called him today and said, what can you do for us to get some more oil? Of course, they can't really do anything, but they humored them. But the second thing that's really more interesting is...
These are like the guys, you know the old saying, you know, the guy is a kills his parents and then throws himself on the mercy of the court because he's an orphan? I mean, their policies have wrecked energy independence. It only took 9 months.
What can you do for us? Hey, the other thing is, real quick, this weekend in Westchester, there's not going to be any carbon problem at all. They're waiving the rules. Jennifer Gates, Bill Gates' daughter, is throwing a massive wedding party for herself, and they're all jetting in here this weekend. The New York Post has a expose on it. Take a look at it when you get a chance.
Oh, wow. It just got posted this afternoon. I'll check it out. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, it just got posted. It's unbelievable what they're doing to the area where the house is.
I'm sure there'll be masks everywhere and there'll be testing and all that kind of stuff, right? And everybody will be showing their vaccine passports, I'm sure. But they're sophisticated. It's like Governor Murphy in New Jersey at the gay rights dinner. You know, they didn't have to worry about wearing masks because they're all sophisticated people, as the New York Times says. So the 2-year-olds in Jersey got to wear masks, but not Phil Murphy and his beautiful people. Thanks for the call. You know how the government, Biden says they can solve anything. They can bring in millions of indigents from the third world and put them all on welfare forever. It won't affect anything. They can spend $3.5 trillion. Won't cost a damn cent. You know, they can shut down the Keystone XL pipeline and stop oil drilling and shut down fossil fuel energy producing plants. And it won't have any effect on anything. And everything will be fantastic, and the supply chain, as he calls it, won't be affected. But they can't do anything about Christmas presents. Listen to Jen Psaki today. She's asked about the whether or not there's going to be enough gifts in the pipeline. Cut 17.
Based on everything being announced today,
yeah,
can this administration guarantee that holiday packages will arrive on time?
We are not the Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. We cannot guarantee.
Wait, but they can fix the climate. It's like Charlie Parker. He can't run a soldier's home. He can't properly manage the nursing homes that give him, whose operators give him $150,000, but he can save the planet. These people are same way. They could save the planet, but they can't guarantee delivery of your Christmas presents on time. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie. You know, everybody's memories are so short, and it's funny. I was on vacation the beginning of August at a vacation house on Lake Ontario. And so you're sitting there, and one of the books they had in the house, and it wasn't a newly written book. This probably went back 30 or 40 years. And it was detailing the massive flood of 1972 that hit the Finger Lakes area.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. So that particular flood, it details, was, I forget what the hurricane was, that backed up out over the lower, you know, upstate New York, Finger Lakes area,
yeah,
and massive flooding in the area and so forth. But it goes on to detail similar floods that happened, like I think in the mid-60s,
right,
the 50s, the 30s, World War One era, 1800, it goes over all of these floods that have happened over and over and over again. And yet you get the dimwits like Charlie Parker who sit there and try to convince the snowflakes that what you see, yeah, this year or that year.
Yeah, I know. There's never been a heat wave until this year. There was never a rainy June until this year, apparently. That's you're right. It's so ridiculous. You know, you talk about being on the Great Lakes. I mean, it seems like every year, every summer, there's two kinds of stories. One, the Great Lakes are drying up. They've been here since the glaciers, but they're going to be gone soon because there's a drought. Then the next summer, the Great Lakes are higher than they have ever been before, ever, because the polar ice cap is melting and vacation cottages like belong to Gretchen Whitmer and her imperious husband, they're being flooded. But it's one or the other. And either there's snow, which is a new ice age, or there's no snow, which is global warming. And he's right. They expect that people are so dumb now. And I guess Charlie Parker, if you vote for Charlie Parker, you got to be pretty dumb. You got to be a feeble-minded Boston Globe reader. You're watching Channel 5 News to get your information. You got to be pretty stupid. I mean, this is, even by Charlie Parker standards, this was a pathetically weak performance. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, Howie. I had my Colonel Custer moment here in Bourne. I went to that meeting tonight, so I thought I'd give you a call and let you know how well it went. I felt like I was staring at a bunch of sideboards. They wouldn't even lift their face off the page. They wanted to hear nothing. I'm telling you, Howie, these school committees are dangerous, so dangerous, and no one showed up to this meeting. So the town of Bourne, if they want to have these people running their schools and ideologizing their children, I'm going to tell you, you're going to pay for it in the long run. These people are dangerous. They're very dangerous. I know people.
Why don't you run for the school committee, Mike?
I told them if I did. As soon as I said that, somebody ran out with their LGBT mask cover and went to call the cops. And I was very respectful. And you know what, Howie? I've never been in a panel, in an address, a committee like that. These people are outright dangerous. And no one is listening, and nobody showed up to that meeting except the six people.
What can I tell you, Mike? You know, I don't know if I still had kids public school age, I don't know what I would do. I think I would get them the hell out of the public schools wherever I lived, you know. I mean, it's certainly out of control in Wellesley where my kids went to public school. I mean, they now have meetings where white kids aren't allowed to go. or the, until they got busted, and then they said the white kids could come in because they were going to discuss the I don't even want to get into it, what it was all about. It was just nonsense. But then they're paying somebody $150,000 a year from Diversity University to come in and tell everybody how bad they are because they live in a nice town. Thanks for the call, Mike. 844-500-4242. Let me read you something since he brought up the calling the cops on the school boards. And you know what's going on with the Merrick Garland is saying that he's going to use the Patriot Act against people like Mike who go to the school boards and complain. So today there's a column in the Wall Street Journal by James Sensenbrenner. He's a former congressman from Wisconsin, Republican, and he was chairman of the House Judiciary Committee when they wrote and passed and was signed into law by the President Bush, the Patriot Act. As the principal author of the Patriot Act and chairman of the House Judiciary Committee during its consideration, I find it necessary to remind the Biden administration that the Patriot Act doesn't apply to parents' behavior at school board meetings. Rather than embracing a renaissance of spirited and nonviolent civic engagement at school board meetings, people like Virginia gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe recently said, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." Democrats' hostility toward parents seeking a voice in their children's education is not new. But of greater concern is the recent attempt to weaponize our criminal laws to eliminate these voices of dissent. It is emblematic of the Biden administration's unparalleled effort to transform federal laws and agencies into instruments of domestic and political repression. And that includes the vaccine mandates. Again, 70% of the Marine Corps is vaccinated, but 30% aren't. What's going to happen to them when the deadline is reached? And then Sensenbrenner, again, he's a former congressman, and he was involved in writing the Patriot Act. When debating the Patriot Act and other federal anti-terrorism laws, no one in either chamber of Congress could have imagined these laws would be turned against concerned parents at local school board meetings. Yet on October 4th, Mr. Garland issued the memorandum that will live in infamy. It directs the Federal Bureau of Investigation and U.S. attorneys to develop, quote, strategies for addressing threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staffs, unquote. Federal agencies lack roving jurisdiction to conduct and to investigate and prosecute non-criminal conduct. They also lack authority to invoke federal anti-terrorism laws to chill protected expressive conduct. The Justice Department's school board memorandum violates the letter and spirit of federal laws backed by bipartisan, bicameral congressional majorities. Unless it is immediately withdrawn, the memorandum will chill free speech, undermine civil liberties, erode public confidence in federal law enforcement, divert resources from actual terrorist threats, and weaken congressional supports for key anti-terrorism laws. Mr. Garland's memorandum and Ms. Psaki's silence about it speak volumes about this administration's approach to the constitutional rights of all Americans. Mr. McAuliffe's hostility toward Virginia parents must not be backed by oppressive and unlawful federal mandates calculated to stifle free speech throughout the country. That's a good op-ed. That's by Jim Sensenbrenner, former congressman from Wisconsin, who was one of the authors of the Patriot Act. Maria, you're next with Howie. Oh, we're out of time. We'll take a break, and we'll get back to the calls in just a moment. 844-500-4242. Sorry, Maria. We'll be right back with you. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
I've heard about you. What have you heard, Shane?
I've heard that you're a low-down Yankee liar.
Howie Carr is back.
So, Sensenbrenner, the former congressman from Wisconsin, was talking about Terry McAuliffe saying that there's no place for parents in their child's education, and it's really been a real blow to his struggling campaign to be reelected governor of Virginia after a 4-year hiatus. So today,
struggling.
So today he was leaving some event. And a reporter, apparently they have real reporters in Virginia, unlike in Massachusetts. A reporter asked him about this. Listen to his response.
Right, who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Have you been vaccinated yet? That's the question I want to know.
Who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Governor, was it a mistake for schools to close last year?
I'll build education. That's why Fox News has me leading. Glenn Youngkel destroyed Virginia's education system.
I don't think Glenn Youngkel has ever been in office before, but he destroyed it. I think Terry McAuliffe is feeling the heat, even though he's a member of the Clinton crime family. You know, they don't feel the heat too much, even when they try to frame a president of the United States. They get away with it, and Hillary Clinton writes a mystery or has a mystery written for her, which no one's going to read, but it'll still sell a million copies. And she goes on the TV shows, and nobody asks her about the indictment of her lawyer for lying to the FBI, Sussman. Nobody asks her. Oh, they could be Boston reporters, those national correspondents. But then they were all literally on the payroll for Clinton, a lot of them, like Tapper and Stephanopoulos. And if you want to count Maynard G. Todd, too, Chuck Todd, his wife was on Bernie's payroll. Maria, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, Howie. Just two things when it comes to climate change. Why is it that there's, just in Massachusetts alone, from Plum Island in Newburyport all the way down to, you know, the Cape, we've got waterfront property that's being built today for, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars? You've got
millions.
Millions. Waterfront property on the islands, millions. Why are banks still selling these properties?
And why is Barack Obama? Why are Barack Obama and John Kerry, who tell us that the seas are going to be flooding this coastal property, why are they spending tens of millions of dollars on their property on Martha's Vineyard, Maria?
That's the only good question for somebody like me.
I thought we only had 9 years left, Maria. You know?
How does anybody fall for this when you watch it?
I don't know. I play it for laughs, Maria. But I somebody must be buying this nonsense, right? I mean, he must be thinking. Does he think this is how they're going to get the TCI tax passed? That people are this dumb?
Don't
Maybe
know.
They are. They elected him twice. I'm Howie Carr.